This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thanks for staying with us here on The Morning Run. You're with Lynn, Shanning and Roshan. Now, we are still digesting the surprise resignation of Education Minister Dr. Mazli Malik last Thursday. The Malaysian Insight has reported that, in fact, his resignation was the result of him going against cabinet orders. So the news portal cited a 17-paragraph letter noting Dr. Mazli had failed to listen to advice and had on several occasions gone against cabinet decisions. And this letter was reportedly sent to Dr. Mazli's office on December 27th. And was written by Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad.
Now, according to the Malaysian Insight, the letter had noted that among Dr. Mazli's failures were that he didn't follow the advice on the Jawi issue, free internet for schools, as well as the free breakfast program for students. And this is exactly what he cited in his own speech when he had a press conference. Apparently, the letter also added that Dr. Mazli was against splitting the education and higher education portfolios. The Malaysian Insight added that the letter ended with Dr. Mahathir requesting Dr. Mazli, in quotes here, withdraw from the cabinet.
So for insight into this issue, as well as some thoughts on the next education minister, we turn this morning to Datin Nor Azimah Abdul Rahim, chairperson for the Parents with the Parents Action Group for Education, or PAGE Malaysia, on the line with us now. Thank you very much for joining us, Datin Azimah. So what makes a good education minister? And should a politician or a professional assume the role since it's now been vacated?
Well, I think it's not for me to say, but of course a politician has other responsibilities, especially to his constituency. And then the Ministry of Education also is peculiar because you have the largest vote bank within the ministry. You have, 450,000 teachers. So it's important that you appease them. But on the other hand, you also, if you were to have a non-politician holding the minister post, as we have seen with Tunku Musa in 1999. He doesn't have political baggage, he doesn't have other responsibilities, and he's able to focus on his role as the minister and not deviate or be influenced by political expediencies. There are pros and cons, but from our experience dealing with the ministry over the last 10 years or so, definitely it is near impossible to get an appointment with the Minister of Education. And not just for people like us or on the outside, but also for within the ministry. The ministry people themselves have difficulty meeting their own minister because he's a politician. He's got other, votes. I think it's also important that the minister must have the guts when he makes and takes decisions, because he should have in his mind the national education philosophy that our students should be globally competitive. So when he makes the decisions, it must not be because this decision will make me win the next general election.
And in your experience, what do you think are the challenges that come with being an education minister?
You see, there's so many groups of people that you have to address and please, as Minister of Education. It's a very human-based ministry. You've got the staff themselves, and then you've got teachers, again, huge vote bank, and then you have parents who are also voters, and it's not just politicians who politicize matters. Teachers can politicize, and so can parents. And then, of course, there are the students, which should be the main focus of the ministry. A great many challenges, but if one was to be clear in one's mind what needs to be done for every specific group, it's not untenable to run such a ministry effectively.
So looking back, what were some of the mistakes that come to mind when you look at the different education ministers that we've had in the post?
I won't name names, but one was very keen on getting onto the UMNO Supreme Council towards the end, and it was all that mattered. So students were tossed aside. Another one, I suppose, was entrusted to make as much money for the political party as possible. So, again, students were tossed aside. And in the end, this is, I suppose, where the education system is, where quality is lacking. Teachers are not going to class. The OKU students are neglected. Orang Asli also neglected. You know, universities are falling off their ranks, politics being played in universities. There's a lot that needs to be done to turn around the system.
Do you think that engagement of NGOs and parent-teacher associations then are critical before the ministries go ahead to formulate education policies?
I think for a long time, NGOs and PTAs were not part of the formula, but increasingly they were invited to give their thoughts and opinions, viewpoints. And I think it was especially useful when the Malaysia Education Blueprint was drafted. And I think that it is probably a good thing to continue doing, because everybody has something to say as far as the education system is concerned, also because we all went to school. And it's good for PAs and NGOs, etc., to be empowered to be part of planning and the policy making. So I think it is a good practice, but Ministry of Education itself should not be too swayed by them, because I think some of us can be quite emotional when it comes to educating our children. And even selfish, because we only want the best for our children, but it may not be the best for other children.
And how do you think parents feel about Dr. Masli's resignation, considering both his successes and stumbles so far?
I think if you are a hands-on parent and you've been going to school with your child, you will probably see the changes, the positive changes being made at school level. But if you don't have a school-going children, it's probably a little bit more far-fetched, unless you read about progress that's being made. Unfortunately, the negatives overshadow the positives, and which is why we are at this stage discussing this at this point. But I think that if given time, we would have seen some significant improvements in the system, because we already have the core issues have already been addressed, are being addressed, and we hope to see, you know, significant improvements in this new academic year moving forward. Probably the only parents who weren't happy were those who sat for the PT3 last year, because there were some last-minute changes to formatting, etc., etc. And maybe the SPM students who sat for the Admath and chemistry papers. The chemistry paper was a late half an hour, and then Admath was, and also modern maths was extremely difficult, to the extent that even the teachers couldn't do the papers. I think apart from these parents, I think across the board, they were generally happy with Masli's performance.
So with all that in mind, do you think that Dr. Masli's resignation is a setback to all the progress he's done so far?
Yeah, I think so, because he had a plan, and we had a plan too. And because it's such a huge department, you have two new ministers taking up such a huge portfolio, and it was when it was combined. Maybe I think it should remain combined, but I think the government should think about maybe having a second deputy minister to share the load, because it's just so massive. When you have a massive portfolio like this, you need more leaders to see things move at a faster pace. I mean, everything is on hold because they can't see the minister. How are you going to move the education system, transform it and make it fly when everything is on hold and nobody dares act until the minister says yes?
So, Dr. Nazima, what should be the education ministry's priority then, in your view, moving forward?
Well, definitely we have to look at English and we have to look at STEM, because I think when Tun Mahathir met the MPPK members December 2018, this is what he wanted to see. He also wanted to see less religion in schools. And a year down the road, we still weren't able to give him anything concrete, you know. And I think this cost the minister his position. So this is definitely something that has to be delivered sooner or later to the PM and to the government, because it's important that we get our students to become interested in STEM. We have to make sure our labs, which were supposed to be repaired in 2016, I still don't know whether these labs are ready to be used. And because of previous leakages, you know. So I hope that this will put the ministry in good stead once we can deliver these major reforms.
Thank you very much, Datin Azimah. And that was Datin Nor Azimah Abdul Rahim, chairperson of the Parents Action Group for Education, or PAGE Malaysia, giving us her thoughts on the Education Ministry, as well as the minister's performance and resignation, which was a shock on Thursday. Now, I guess the biggest question now moving forward is who's going to replace him? What's going to happen next? And there's also some speculation over whether the Ministry of Education will now once again be split into two. So education and higher education once again.
Yeah, she did say, right, that the Ministry of Education is a ginormous ministry. I mean, one of her suggestions was to actually get a second deputy minister, because things don't move until you get the minister's approval, and apparently no one can get an appointment to see him. So I guess it's all just stalemate at this current juncture. But I think if you ask me, what is critical is to make that appointment as soon as possible. And unfortunately, whoever comes into that position, there isn't much time. He or she needs to get things working as soon as possible. Because the longer you delay, then who pays the price? It's the students once again, right? And one of the criteria is to get our students as globally competitive as possible.
Absolutely. And that is always a work in progress. So we shall have to wait and see what happens next. But right now we're heading into a few messages and then the 8 o'clock news. But don't go away, because after the 8 o'clock news, we have the Breakfast Grill, where Shaning speaks with Zakri Kir, CEO of Allianz Malaysia. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.